Hey everyone, this is Chelsea Schaefer. Welcome back to The Score. Today's episode is from the winners of the American Rope Horse Fraternity Association's Oil Can Classic. I am catching up with all sorts of podcasts right now because we have been talking to these guys and going 100 miles an hour, which is always my excuse, and I'm sorry about that excuse, but it is true. I talked to Miles Baker, who won the heading fraternity there, and I talked to Joseph Harrison, who won first, second, third, and fourth in the healing. So there was a lot happening, and we caught up with them. And then next week we will have the Gold Buckle fraternity's winners, also from Ardmore. So, you know, stand by. We have lots happening. All of these articles also are going to live on teamropingjournal.com. You can find interviews in print. You can find stories about these horses. There is quite a bit to it. So since this is a double episode with two interviews, I will let you get right to it. Quick side note, these days it is so easy to record a phone call on your iPhone. It says, this call is being recorded, and then it records it. So the only glitch with that is that there's a tiny little beep every about 5 minutes that it beeps to let the person know they're still being recorded. A lot of times Craig, my editor, takes those beeps out. Sometimes he can't. So if you hear a little beep, that's what it is. But the audio quality is just so much better when you record straight from iPhone to iPhone that I think it's worth the teeny little beep that happens to stay in there every 5 minutes. Okay, enjoy this episode. That horse has been out since when?
That's a horse we call Sevens. He's a full sibling to the stud that Cade Rice had a lot of success on. And I got the horse from Matt Liston. Matt and Bob Tonkin owned him. And I actually took him in on a trade from them on Nala. Bob owns part of Nala, which is Relentless PYC. And I took that horse in on that trade from them. And he just has a lot of expression, really cool running. He's got a good feel scoring. Like he's always, I always say, pulling down, like on the bridle. If he wants to move, like he's never elevating or coming up or going through your hand. Like he puts pressure down on the bridle reins. And so, you know, he's just going to stay flat and runs hard, looks cool doing stuff. And anyway, the first place I took him was Buckeye last year as a 5-year-old, and I won Buckeye on him. And then I took him to Scottsdale and won a round, and I won a round at Houston on him. And then after Houston, he got just a tick sore, and I found out that he had a chip in his ankle, and the vet said that it wasn't a big deal, but we needed to take it out. And so we took it out. He was out for about 5 or 6 months with that. And it got kind of towards the end of the season, and I didn't have enough time to get him ready for any of the fraternities at the end of the year. So I just eased him around this winter, and he's so good at the fraternities that I kind of wanted to save him for the better stuff. And I love it when a plan comes together, because I kept saying I was going to take him to Ardmore because it was close to home, and then probably take him to the Royal Crown in Guthrie, and that way I get a couple shows under his belt before the big show in Utah. And so the horse has been good and ready to go for, you know, probably 4 or 5 months now, and I've just kind of been easing him around at home and not doing much, and I cracked him out at Ardmore and got the win. And like I said, it's nice when a plan comes together.
Which was your highest score? Was the short round your highest score for the day?
I think the short round was the highest score of the day in general.
Yeah. What did he tell me about that run? That.
A lot of times people get caught up thinking that the short rounds just have like crazy high scores, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times which a lot of judges see that, like, you've already run three at that point. And I think when a horse backs in the box and is just stands there cold-blooded and runs harder and is truer and more pure in the turn and pulls and faces and finish good after you've already run three on them. I think it's just a recipe for a higher score. And so really the horse did the same thing all four runs. But like I said, the short round was just, it's in the heat of the moment and the music's playing and pressure's up. And I think those judges see that stuff and sometimes it's taken into account. And so I think the fact that that horse was his best in the short round on the fourth run was what made that the high score of the day, not necessarily because he did anything different than the runs before, but I just drew a really good cow and I got a really good start, and it just worked out really good. That's a great horse.
Well, Trevor was basketballing yesterday, right? So
yeah,
that horse is usually in your string, right? Why is that one of yours versus one of Trevor's?
Trevor, he's standing right here.
That's perfect.
Trevor, why do I ride sevens and not you? This is a Team Roping Journal question. I don't know. We like winning first, not second.
Yeah.
No, honestly, I ride him because when we got... Oh, yeah, well, like, Trev's maxed out on head horses. He's got a string of just really slow stuff, and if you put him on something that runs, it throws the timing off. I had to ride one of his string over there this weekend, and
stick to the fence with my rope. Really, the reason I ride him is because when that horse...
We both, like, we're really... Yeah, Trev's never rode him.
You started riding him when I was hurt.
Yeah, so I was about to say, we got him and started riding him when he was going to have shoulder surgery. Mm-hmm. And so
he went it straight into my little lineup.
And then I had success on him everywhere. I've rode the horse at four shows and have won money at four shows.
Yeah.
So he's kind of just part of my crew.
If all of your head horses in your string have their day, like, do you think, is there one that you think should win every time? Over
if
the
Nala
other
is, if Nala's at her best, it don't matter what the setup is, she should win.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about her is you can leave right when you want to leave every time. And she's fast. So, like, the short setups that are a little funnier score or the long setups where you got to see a lot, she's just,
yeah.
But honestly, this bay is not, Trevor thinks that about every horse that he rides.
Yeah,
he'll be like, what's that horse you're winning on? He's probably worth 7,500, ain't he? if Trevor's riding them, they cost double. So hit me up if you need a horse. I said, hit me up if you need a horse. I'll let Trevor price it. No.
Well, do you think that time off, like, saved some of his expression? Because we always say, like, the older they get, like, the six-year-olds lose some of their expression. Or that's what Trev always tells me. Like, do you think it saved some of his expression like a greener horse? But he's got the mind of an older horse?
I mean, I could see that, yeah. I don't disagree with the expression deal, but I will say they're starting to judge to where, like, it might not have a ton of expression, but if they stand there cold and fire and haul ass and work every time, like, lead on,
mm-hmm.
they're going to keep winning.
Mm-hmm.
If they do it, cool.
Mm-hmm.
To look scared doing it, you know?
Yeah. Huh.
Trev probably disagrees with me a little bit, but... He just said the Royal Crown for sure, like, just a good horse, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll see at the Gold Buckle here in a couple weeks. Okay, I'm going to pause for a minute between the interview with Miles and Joseph to tell you a little bit about something we have going over at roping.com. So you see, I saw somebody comment in a group the other day, how do you learn to ride your horse? Like, I don't know how, I know how to rope or I can work on roping on the dummy, but I need to learn how to ride my horse better. Of course, there are a lot of elements to learning how to ride your horse, and nothing replaces saddle time. But now that you just listened to Miles talk and with his absolute eloquence on this podcast, I want to remind you that Miles Baker is one of our horsemanship experts over on roping.com. You know, we filmed with them a couple weeks ago, and I asked on Facebook what people wanted to know. And when I asked that, the questions, I said every single comment, we got like 100 comments, every single comment could have been answered with a link to a video that's already on roving.com. Because we have been filming exclusively, the only ones who can film with Trevor Brazil and Miles Baker, at their place in Decatur for 3 years, 4 years, at least 2 or 3 times a year, 2 days at a time, we film their entire program. There are absolutely no secrets that those two have that we do not show you on roping.com. We show every one of those good horses start to finish, how their programs go. Miles talks a lot about what he does with his body, with his feet, with his hands. He's really, really good at explaining that. I'm not bragging on him, not on purpose. He is just really good. And I want you to know that if you haven't stopped and gone on roping.com and done that instructional series, there's colt starting, there's everything from 2-year-olds the whole way up to their finished horses, to rodeo horses that Trevor's ridden in the past. There's sit-down interviews, and there's a lot more than just Miles and Trevor too. There's Ren Richard, there's Dakota Kirkenschlager, there's Tate Kirkenschlager. The list goes on and on. And if you are one of those guys who wants to work on your roping, we have Jake and Clay too. There's tons of roping sprinkled in all of it. So if you want to go back and watch some of the futurities, see what wins, we've got a bunch of old futurities on there. We've got a bunch of current futurities coming up this year. But most importantly, there is more roping information than you could possibly digest in a lifetime. That all lives on roping.com. So, oh, and by the way, Joseph Harrison, who is our interview coming up right now, he's on roping.com too. We have series with him, especially with On Roping the Sled. So if you're going back and working on your horses on the sled, we've got stuff with Joseph on that. All right, everybody, enjoy the rest of the episode. Give me the rundown on that horse. That's Tara and Darren's horse.
Yes, ma'am. He's a Stevie Ray Vaughan out of Million Dollar Baby. I don't know why he didn't make it where he was supposed to be going. He should have. I mean, he's a very, very good horse.
Was he a cutter or a cow horse?
You know, I don't know. I never knew anything about him until late last summer. Mr. Darren had me get on, run a couple on him at his house before the grip. And World Show time, he brought him to me.
So he decided he'd go ahead and be okay.
Yeah, he's a good horse, man. Mr. Darren had him doing really good. So he didn't take much. We just kind of put my little program on there, and he took it real good.
What did you like about him when you felt him that day?
You know, honestly, I think what some guys wouldn't. I've rode some. He's a kind of a square moving kind of horse. Real blocky shoulder, real blocky hips, so he moves a little square. And
define that a little bit more. Tell me what moving square means. I mean, obviously, blocky shoulder, blocky hips, but what does that mean? And what does that mean in healing too?
Well, so I had an old man tell me one time, I shouldn't call him an old man, he ain't with us no more, and he was a sweet dude. He helped me a lot when I was a kid, Doug Carpenter. He told me, he said, if you ever stand and one of them horses come walking by us one day, we was at a sale, and we stand there talking, and that horse come walking by, and he said, if you ever see one of them horses like that waddle when they walk, they can stop. Every one of them horses that waddle behind when they walk, so they'll drag their butt.
I love some Doug Carpenter wisdom. That's awesome.
But anyway, and that horse does. He moves like that. Like he stops real easy. He don't ever have to jump at the ground. He just be moving and then go to the ground 1 foot at a time and still drag his butt. That's hard for horses to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, he can really run. He reads the cow. He reads the cow pretty good. and he can really run. So anytime, he's super broke. I mean, Mr. Darren did a good job. Guy broke. So when you pick up on him anywhere in the run, he comes right back to me pretty good. And he's just a nice horse.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to having him rest of the year.
Yeah. And then what does it mean to you to win for your owners? I mean, I feel like, you know, you win on some that are yours, but man, your owners are pretty awesome and they seem to get excited.
Owners.
Yeah.
I have a group of very good customers. All my customers are great for me. Nobody cares what I do. If I want to go, we go. And if I don't want to go, we don't go. I mean, mm-hmm. Nobody ever really tries to dictate what we're doing or nothing. They just kind of leave it to me, which mm-hmm. is awesome. And in return, I like it when we do good for them, you know, and my goal is for everybody in the barn to make money.
Yeah.
You know, if everybody in the barn's making money, then I'm making good money too. And life goes on, you know?
Yeah. And 1 through 4 was pretty, pretty unbelievable. I mean, you did 1 through 3 in Utah, but 1 through 4 is pretty cool. Talk about that.
It's just, like I said, Miles and I, we had talked about it a while back. And I told him that if anybody had a better set of 5 and 6 year olds than me, I'd sure like to ride through them. And I rode through his, and they're pretty damn good. But honestly, I got a really good set of them 5, 6 year olds right now. And man, they're all three of those that were leftovers. You know, I've had them for at least a year. Two of them I had for 2 years. So all they are is they were good as 4 year olds, and now they're just bigger and stronger and, you know, more trained and seasoned, know their job. So it's a lot of fun right now. They're all pretty dang good.
I made Miles tell me about his head horses the other day. Like, hey, if everybody's on and everybody has their best day, I made him tell me which one was going to win. And he said that Bay 7 Skelding.
Yep.
Can you say if your helpers are perfect and you draw good cattle and everybody has a great day, can you tell me which one would win? Is that a fair question?
You know, Miles, if everybody's having the best day, I'm healing good, my partner's doing good, out of my set of 4, who wins first? Tony or Bougie? Yeah, be either Copperton or New One Time Blues for Miles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So.
You let Miles pick that answer?
Yep. That way it's not biased. That wasn't a biased answer. That come from my man.
That's awesome. If you give me your rundown this weekend, who are you showing at the Gold Buckle?
Man, I'm going to get so some of my 4-year-olds aren't eligible. Mm-hmm. I've only got a couple of them, I think, that's eligible.
Mm-hmm.
My Sandman is eligible, and then I've got I call him Mav. He's a paint caddy hawk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ride those two for sure, and the 4-year-old. And then in the 5, 6, they're all eligible. So I got Bougie, Tony, Nitro is the Stevie.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got Gucci, which is the Gunner Special Knight of Chris Young's.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to show one of my own, the little Saul paint that I've been riding at all the winter rodeos and that stuff this winter. He's 6 years old as well, and he's eligible. So I'm going to ride him too.
Oh, perfect. You went to Guymon. Obviously, that's like a circuit rodeo for you and not that far. Are you craving it a little bit more? Like, you went to the winter rodeos?
No. We went everywhere we could get in around here because it's close in the winter. And then, obviously, Guymon's a circuit rodeo.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to circuit rodeo around a little, an amateur, fiddle around, really.
Is getting into the winter rodeos for 2026 is that a glimmer in your eye? Or?
Yeah, but Buck wants to. What do you say? I'm sure it was helpful.
Got
Trevor,
it.
In the words of the king, you can't fiddle. This is a lifestyle.
You don't got to quote him more than we have to. Come on.
little king said it. That's worse. but yeah, Buck kind of wants to try to get in Houston, San Antonio and stuff. And so right now, no more than we went. We're honestly not in bad shape in the tour.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to go to all of those that I can that's close enough that it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it looks like we got a chance, Buck said he might take the horses and go hang out Mr. Scott's there at Ellensburg, and then I could just fly in and out.
Yeah, heck yeah.
So that could be something.
And your dun horse that was a show horse last year, right? Like that's is he seven now?
He's seven, yeah.
Yeah, so you can ride him a little bit at the rodeos.
He wasn't really a show horse. We just showed him.
I remember when he won the Texas Best. That's what we said. He worked. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I know. He's a good little horse. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a Guymon champion now, correct? Is that the one you run at Guymon?
Yeah, we figured it up last year between the jackpot and helping on him and stuff like that. Like, I don't know what I want on the rest of those, but just him by himself, between the helping his part and the jackpot and stuff like that. I win some kind of $165,000 his part, and that's without rodeoing or any of that.
He was a decent little purchase, yeah.
He's a pretty good little horse, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Well, good, sir. Thank you. Sorry for being late on getting with you. I appreciate your time.
Right on, sweetheart.
Good luck this weekend. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of The Score with Miles Baker and Joseph Harrison. We'll talk at you next week.